This morning's message will be brought from Mark chapter 8, verse 31. The title of it is Things Christ Must Do. Let me read the scripture to you. In verse 31, "And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, and be rejected of the elders, and of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again." The Lord Jesus Christ did not come into this world to get a following or the approval of sinful men. He came on a divine mission. He came to accomplish his Father's will, which was to save his people from their sins and bring them home without spot or blemish. We read in the Gospels that the Son of Man must accomplish some things. There are things he must do and places he must go. And this is what I want to look at this morning. It is written in Luke chapter 2, 49, verse 49. "I must be about my Father's business." Christ was sent into this world on business, and it would do us well to find out what that business is all about. What is so important that the Son of God, the second person in the Trinity, would come into this world of sin and evil to do? David said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man that thou shouldst visit him?" Now I know this, the first thing that he must do is fulfill the scriptures concerning himself. The whole Bible is about Jesus Christ. The Old Testament says someone's coming. The Gospels say that he has come. And the Epistles say that he's coming again. If a person can read the Bible and not see Christ from Genesis to Revelation, then that person has missed the purpose and the message of the Bible. Christ said to those scribes, "Ye search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have life, but they are they which testify of me." In Luke 24:44, "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." He said in Mark 14:49, "I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you took me not, but the scriptures must be fulfilled." The scriptures, which are the word of God, must be fulfilled to the letter. What God has spoken and what God has written must come to pass. His word will not return to him void. God must be true to his word. Listen to these scriptures. In Psalm 119:89, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." God will not go back on his word. It says in Psalm 138:2, "For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." God is only as good as his word, and he's good for his word. Now, what God said concerning Christ in the scriptures must come to pass. In Genesis, God said that the serpent would bruise the heel of the woman's seed, and the woman's seed would bruise the serpent's head. Christ must come and destroy the power of Satan. He is the woman's seed that's going to destroy the power of Satan. God said that there would arise a priest like Melchizedek, who has an unchangeable priesthood. Christ is that Melchizedek. God said that a deliverer would come and turn ungodliness away from Jacob. Christ is that deliverer. God said that he would give a sign, "A virgin shall conceive and bear a son." And this happened. This happened when Mary was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Also, the types that were set forth in the scriptures must be fulfilled by Christ. Christ must answer all the types and pictures that spoke of him. And he did. When he came into this world, he fulfilled all the types and the pictures. He must become bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And there's two reasons. Let me give you two reasons why. That he might be at one. First of all, that he might be a proper mediator between God and men. Everything God does with sinners, all that he communicates to sinners, and all the communication that sinners do with God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only mediator between God and men. Mary is not a mediator. She needs the blood and righteousness of Christ as much as I need it. We do not pray to Mary. We do not go through Mary. I've heard it said, "Mary, Mother of God." Mary is not the Mother of God. Nothing about Mary entered into the person, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was begotten by the Holy Spirit. God only used her womb. He only used Mary's womb because he would give a sign that a virgin would conceive and bear a son. Who ever heard of a virgin having a child? You know that in the scriptures, the Lord Jesus Christ never called her mother. He always called her woman. Go look it up. He always called her woman. And we don't pray to departed saints. That's not of God. Jesus Christ is the only mediator between God and men and nobody else. And no one else. And then he must become a man in order to be a proper substitute. By man, sin came into the world, and by man, the God-man, Christ Jesus, satisfaction must be made. The same nature that sinned and broke God's law, the same nature now that did that, must come and render satisfaction to God's law and justice. The true bread from heaven must come down and be broken that we may eat thereof and not die. The true Passover lamb must come and make atonement for our sins. The Son of God must come and establish an everlasting righteousness for his people. The Lord Jesus Christ himself is the righteousness of his people. That's why he's called the Lord our righteousness. And then secondly, when he comes, there are some places he must go. It says in John 4:4, I must needs go through Samaria. Why? Divine sovereignty had ordained that. Divine sovereignty ordained that he must go there because there is a sinner there that he must save. He must cross the path of his sheep at the appointed time and reveal the gospel to them and save them from their sins. He said in the scriptures that he came to seek and to save the lost. And there was a lost sheep in Samaria, and he's going to save her. We know her as the woman at the well. In Luke 19:5, he said, Zacchaeus, come down. This day I must abide at thy house. Why? Why must he abide at his house? He said, because he also is a son of Abraham. He is a promised son. Everyone whom God saved is a son of promise. That's why he must needs go through Ashland and Huntington and Lexington. Wherever his sheep are, he must go through. He is on the trail of his sheep until he saves the last one and takes it home. Everywhere our Lord went was divinely ordained of his Father. He did not walk around at random. Every step was ordered of God. In John 10:16, he said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring in. It was a charge given to him by his Father. The shepherd must go after the lost sheep, put it on his shoulders, and bring it home. The lost coin must be found, and the prodigal son must come home. Now listen very carefully to this scripture. In the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 39, and this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Christ will not lose one sinner that he died for. Now thirdly, he said there in Mark 8:31, the Son of Man must suffer many things. There is no way to be saved except the Son of Man, who is the Son of God, suffer in my place. He proved this when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. It did not pass, because there is no other way for God to be a just God and a Savior except through the substitutionary sufferings and death of his Son. No other way. He must suffer the things that I suffer in order for him to be a high priest that can be touched with the feelings of my infirmities. He must suffer hunger and thirst as I do. He must be tempted in all points as I am, yet without sin. Also, he must suffer, it says here in this verse, he must suffer rejection by the chief priests and the elders. They must turn thumbs down on him. And he must be spit on. He must be stripped naked. He must be striped, for by his stripes we are healed. He must suffer everything that I deserve to suffer at the hands of God's justice. And that brings me to this point. He must suffer at the hands of justice. Not just at the hands of men, but at the hands of divine justice. The scripture says, awake, O sword, against the man that is my fellow. God drew out his sword of justice and plunged it into the heart of his Son. That's what happened at Calvary. It says in Daniel 9:26, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. He's cut off for his people. That's who he's cut off for. He must be lifted up on a cross in order to bear the full curse of the law against sin. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. That's what it says in the scriptures. Everything about his suffering and his death had a law curse attached to it. A curse that was on every one of his people was laid on him. And then he must die. He not only must suffer, he must die. He must really be put to death. The scapegoat, the Passover lamb, must bear away our sins. The soul that sinneth shall surely die. Therefore, being the substitute of a multitude of sinners, he must die in their stead for them to live. He must be made sin for me, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. That has to happen. But death is not the ending. Death is not the ending. It says he must rise the third day. A dead Christ cannot save anyone, but a living Lord can. It says in Romans 4:25, he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. If Jesus Christ is not risen, then no one is justified, and this is all a sham, and there's nothing to it. But Christ, the Son of God, is risen from the dead. He's not dead. He's not in that grave. Right now, there is a man seated at God's right hand. There is a man in glory who is accepted of God and is seated right there at God's right hand. And you know what he's doing sitting there? It says over here in 1 Corinthians 15:25, it says, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. He's sitting there reigning and ruling over the whole universe. Right now, everything is under the power, control, and authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, all breath has been given to my hands. The breath of everything, all flesh, is in his hands. He has the authority over the whole universe. And he must rule and govern all that the Father has given to him. If you want to do business with God, you better go to Christ. Don't you go to Mary or some other departed saint. You better go to Christ. Don't go to your preacher. Go to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the mediator. He's the Savior of sinners. And then last of all, he must increase and I must decrease. He must fade. I must fade into the shadow of his wings until only Christ is seen. He must increase in our love and devotion to him. He must increase in our worship of him. Oh, I pray that God would this day and forevermore make Christ increase in our hearts. Until next time, may God be with you.